Right now, it is time to bring in Jim Lynch. It's time for Cover Your Assets. Jim is an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, sports, politics, you name it. He brings lots of experience to those subjects and more. Ladies and gentlemen, the target demographic for Marshall Miles, here he is, Jim Lynch.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good
How are
morning.
You?
Good morning. I appreciate your testimony. anyhow, hi, Jill. Hi, everybody out there. Hope you're doing well. Well. Weather's kind of dreary down here. I hope it's a little better up there.
No, it's a little. It just depends on where you are, whether it's just... it's not drizzling. It's just occasionally it's...
It just depends on whether you have one eye open or two. You know?
It's dank. It's dank. It's D-A-N-K.
Well, I had the dogs out this morning, and then it was fine. And then I opened the door again. It was misting. So it's just really depends where you are.
All right.
Okay, let's go. We have a continuing national security risk in the person of Donald Trump, who basically gave a lot of details on the raid that killed the ISIS leader. He basically told everybody the equipment we used and how long it took to fly there and so forth and so on. And it's too bad that he did that, because now there's going to be a little change up when these people do these raids again. The other thing is, it was just utterly despicable, his using this dog that was injured in the raid. And once again, national security, he flashed a photo of the dog and his name, which probably means the dog won't be able to work anymore in his capacity. But more importantly, it might put his handler in danger, because these dogs have specific handlers. We find that it is just utterly incredible that the reason we went in at night over there in that area is because Trump basically said, well, you know, we're pulling out, the Kurds can go find their own sand. And the net result was we had to hurry the deal up, because the Kurds were in the process of leaving at our command, I guess. Now, what's so further despicable is the fact that when the president thanked people, he started with thanking the Russians and the Turks. And I think the military filtered in a little later, and then, oh, the Kurds helped a little and the Iraqis. Well, immediately the Defense Department and others pointed out to us that it was the Kurds and the Iraqis and their incredible intelligence efforts which basically set this thing up so that we could take this guy out. By the way, the president was aware of this mission, aware that we were somewhat close to getting this guy, in May, that's May of this year. So his taking the troops out, or trying to take them out, in the spur of a moment, indicates there's something wrong with him, mentally, emotionally, whatever. Bottom line, these are scary times when the leader of our country either doesn't know what to do, or wants to do whatever he damn well pleases. I don't know what to tell you. It's bedeviling. And well, then we have Fox News, who are beating up on this military guy who's going to testify today. This man is an immigrant from, I believe, Russia. He did service to his country, received a Purple Heart in, I believe it was Iraq, and is now coming forward as a patriot to tell us what exactly went on that phone call with the Trump and the Ukrainian leader. He was on the phone, this man. But again, you know, it's very sad that certain areas of this country, this Laura Ingraham person castigating this guy, John Chu, who was a lawyer for Bush, saying he's guilty of espionage. I mean, all not outright lies, but slanderous and demeaning. And really, this woman should be thrown off the air. She is such a... Anyhow. So.
Well, you know, it's about this whole thing with the killing of the ISIS leader. Here's the problem when... that one of the problems that happens when the President of the United States does not have an inner circle that is built around him to inform him and protect him and to help him project an image. The first 4.5 to 5 minutes, if you go back and look at his announcement of the killing of this leader, it was fine. It was absolutely fine. About 5 minutes in, he went off the rails. And there's nobody to stop him from going off the rails. And then you couldn't write this stuff. If you were a comedy writer and you were writing a comedy on the presidency, to have the president describe a raid where top secret forces go in and make the raid, and you would describe it as they don't go in the front door, they don't knock at the front door, they blow. Well, of course they don't go in the front door. Of course they blow holes in the walls. This is where the guy goes off, where he goes off the rails. And there's nobody there, because they've all been there and tried, to keep him on the rails and act presidential. And then he ends up going off the rails. It's just like the picture they put out. Because he wasn't there. Okay, they had him do a picture with the Joint Chiefs and everything, a mock-up photo, okay? And, of course, that mock-up photo wasn't when it was happening. He was on a golf course when it was happening. Now, I'm not criticizing that, okay? It was during the afternoon. You're president. You get free time. You can do what you want to do. But instead of portraying the picture as what it was put up to try to resemble what happened when Osama bin Laden was killed, and it just wasn't the same. So that's another mistake. And another mistake, Jim, and this is what I really don't understand. When he went to the Washington Nationals baseball game, this is where his handlers and his press people and his advisors all screwed up. He shows up with Melania. That's terrific. He should have brought his son, Barron. Barron should have been right there with them. You know what that does? That softens the picture right off the bat. You would have Melania, Barron sitting in the middle, and Donald Trump sitting on one side. It softens the picture right off the bat, and you wouldn't have had so many people decide to boo, I'm telling you, if Barron had been there. It's just he has people around him that just don't know how to present the president of the United States. They just don't.
It's interesting. My wife, Christine, made that very point in terms of where was Barron? He's 14. He's into sports. It's a thrill to go to a World Series game. It's beyond the pale.
Now,
he always has Melania around like a comforter, because he is very uncomfortable on his own. I don't know if you remember, but the many meetings over in Europe, where there's a whole crowd mingling and talking and so forth, countless times he's just there alone, like a child who doesn't know how to make small talk or is unsure of himself.
You know,
his description of this terrorist who was killed was like from the line from a mafia movie, a low-rate mafia movie describing how he died. He doesn't know how he died. First of all, there's no sound. The guy pulled a suicide vest, and here we have the President of the United States dramatizing this as if, oh, boy, died like a dog and everything else. This man is infantile.
Well, that's
Donald Trump is infantile. He's a child. And I don't know how in the name of God we elected him, but we did. And we got to get rid of him.
Well, he was elected because the people that voted for him in the right states felt abandoned by the Democratic Party. Whether they were or not isn't the question. They felt that they were abandoned by the Democratic Party. And the right people in the right states felt that way, and he's elected president. But it's still I don't understand. You know, there's been presidents that I have disagreed with before, okay? Of course there have been. Ronald Reagan, did a lot of his policies. Richard Nixon, even Bill Clinton, some of his policies, the Bushes. But every one of those presidencies, and I'll take the Clinton presidency out a little bit because of Bill's hijinks and the way he kind of demeaned the office sexually, and I'm not business-wise, but everybody else that's been in this whole lot, and Richard Nixon too because he wanted to be king, they treat the presidency a certain way. And the president of the United States is most arguably the most powerful position in the world, but it was also a respected position in the world whether they liked the United States or not. And people in this country, whether they were Republicans, Democrats, or Independents, basically respected the President of the United States and the authority that it carries. And it's such an important office that I don't know if people realize that if you run into the President of the United States and you were to say, "Hi, Donald," you must address the President of the United States as either Sir, Mr. President, or Mr. Trump. You can actually get a fine and get arrested. This is the respect that has to be shown to the presidency. And it's just not there anymore. It's just not there anymore. And it's a combination of American ethics and the way people act and the fact that this president has blown up the presidency exactly like he wanted to. It's sad.
Well, the word, I think, is respect. He doesn't have respect for anybody, and it translates into his image of not being a respected person. I had two very brief experiences. I met Gerry Ford, the president, after he was long out of office at some kind of business gathering. I shook his hand, chatted just a little bit. But there was an aura about him that I saw subsequently when George Senior Bush was speaking at the Asia Institute or something here in New York, that some people gave us tickets to go see him. And there's an aura about these people because they respect the tremendous power they have, and they communicate in a way that is respectful of those who they are speaking to. We do not have that here.
No, what's interesting about that is you bring up the word respect and the way presidents are treated. I'll go back to Bill Clinton. He was speaking in a state that was heavily Republican, okay, and he spoke to business leaders in this heavily Republican state, and he went into the meeting. And he came out of the meeting, and after the meeting and after he did his thing, some of the very, very, very conservative people that were in that meeting said, you know, you can't help but like the guy and respect the office of the presidency. You know, you throw all those other innuendos away when you're in the same room with him. And my mother, Jim, my mother for years, just a diehard liberal Democrat, okay? Mm-hmm. She wrote letters, sent telegrams to Ronald Reagan when he was president. I mean, I'm surprised that the Secret Service didn't come and knock at her door. But she was also on the commission. Do you remember when they redid the Blair House?
Yes.
My mother was on that commission that did that. And so she was invited to the opening of the Blair House and got to meet President Ronald Reagan.
And I bet you he charmed her.
He charmed her. She met him and spoke. She expected just a handshake. He spoke to her for about 25, 30 seconds. Right. From that point on, she didn't like his policies, but she respected him so much and the office so much, not another telegram went out. And
for how long did you not speak to her after that?
What?
How long did you not speak to her after that?
What do you mean?
To your mother.
I just said to her, I said, you know, they probably planned it this way, Mom. They know that you were somebody who really didn't like him, and they set it up this way. I know. I spoke to her because it opened my eyes that, you know what, you got to respect the office of the presidency because when she found out when she met him, he wasn't an SOB. It might have been somebody she disagreed with, but he wasn't an SOB. And
my favorite John,
and he got that across.
And my favorite John Meacham story about President Reagan was, and this goes back to Jim. I got to say, this goes back to the press as usual. Is that there were a number of people who thought that years earlier that he was completely gaga. And a couple people went in fully expecting to find someone who was absolutely, not with it at all. And, everyone was sitting around and the reality as it was presented did not reflect at all the reality in the room. And I just, it was the way that Meacham told the story. I don't do justice to it at all.
But it's true. There's a certain aura of the presidency that if you get up close to that aura or inside that aura, it affects you. It doesn't matter whether you're a Democrat, Republican, Independent, whatever. It affects you and it brings out. And we do not have that as a country anymore with the presidency. We just don't, because we don't have it amongst our own people, Jim, with people that are friends.
Civility or respect.
Yeah, civility and respect has gone out the window here, and that's why we're hoping, I'm hoping for such a big change, that just to try to bring a little bit of that back. But you know what? It's like my father used to say, once the barn door is open, and
people
and
are having
everybody's
too much fun. People are just having too much fun being.
It's just it's too late to close the doors. But anyway, it's,
well,
and
but that's, you know, it's interesting when you say the civility, how we've lost a lot of it. I can remember, it must be at least 30 years ago, going to Lincoln Center. I forget. I don't know if it was a classical concert or possibly something else. But it was a type of affair that you kind of dress up, or you certainly might have a tux on, or you certainly get dressed up. And that was the first time I saw people in jeans and very casual, kind of sloppy dress. And I said, my God, what's happened? I mean, part of going to those things in those days was it was festive. It was not only enjoyable, performance that you were viewing or listening to, but there was something great about that. You know, we're going to the theater, or we're going to the opera. That's gone. That's not gone, but it's certainly diminished.
Well, we have about 2 minutes left on this morning's show here, Jim.
Well, I wish I could quote the person who said it, well-known person. And they basically said, well, you know, it's not over. We can make a comeback. And along that line, Brian Lehrer, I think yesterday, I was in the car, and he had an expert on. And the story was, well, do you remember, Brian, that the Affordable Care Act was under tremendous pressure by a Republican president, a Republican Senate, and a Republican House. And it failed, thankfully, to John McCain. But the reason this fellow, who's involved in these kinds of things, said it failed was because of the community organizations, the people getting out and gathering and voting and protesting. And as I was listening, it was reminded me of you, Marshall, as you say, you know, come on, get out there and do something and so forth. So on that score, we can all do our little bit in getting us back more into a neutral zone rather than this divisiveness that we have in the country.
Absolutely.
We've got the Constitution of the United States. There's no document like it. Read it. Have your kids read it. And I think more and more people should start talking about things like the Constitution in social circles.
By talking, you mean actually conversing, not typing, correct?
You're right.
Thanks.
I'm sorry. I'm old-fashioned. Yeah, talk.
Yeah. No, right. I think now, that would go a long, long way.
Now, Jim, we can wrap it up. It ain't over till it's over. From our good buddy in 1973, Yogi Berra was the one that coined that phrase. It ain't over
till
it's over. When they were 3-1 behind and they came back to win the series, he said to reporters, it ain't over till it's over. And since 1973, that's the ring.
Amen. Let's close on that note. You have a good week.
Take care, Jim.
Right. Thanks.
Jim Lynch, and Cover Your Assets here on Robinhood Radio.